There is now a new edition of the book Abandon Ship. It was a bestseller back in 1958. Richard Newcomb, the writer, told a story from the closing days of World War II in the Pacific. A Navy cruiser, the USS Indianapolis, was torpedoed. It went down fast, killing 300 men immediately. 900 men went into the water. They had scant provisions, no shelter from the sun, no defense against the sharks. When rescue came, they had been in the ocean 4 days and 5 nights. In the motion picture Jaws, the shark hunter, Captain Quint, a survivor of the Indianapolis, recalled what it was like in the water.
Very first light, Chief. Sharks come cruising. So we formed ourselves into tight groups. Shark comes to the nearest man, that man, he start pounding and hollering and screaming. Sometimes the shark go away. Sometimes he wouldn't go away. Oh, then you hear that terrible high-pitched screaming. The ocean turns red. In spite of all the pounding and the hollering, they all come in and they rip you to pieces.
Only 316 men survived the sinking of the Indianapolis. Among them, the captain, Charles Butler McVeigh. He was court-martialed and convicted. And just last October, he was exonerated by a congressional resolution. The author Peter Moss has written a new foreword and afterword for the new edition of Abandoned Ship. We asked him about McVeigh's court-martial in October of 1945.
Some reporters started asking, how could these men have been in the ocean for 4.5 days with nobody knowing that they were out there? And the Navy was boxed into a corner, and their reaction was to pin it all on the captain of the Indianapolis, Captain McVeigh. And to further drive this point home, they made the court-martial public.
More than 400 combatant vessels were lost during the Second World War. Any other court-martials at all?
None.
So why this one?
Well, because there's a horrible embarrassment here. At least 6 admirals and 3 commodores were involved in the chain of command here. You know, it was a major political move. The bottom line was, who do we hang so we don't all hang together?
If the embarrassment is indeed the men spending 4.5 days in the water with the sharks, why have Captain McVeigh court-martialed? He was in the water as well.
That's right. And, you know, when they tried to introduce that in his court-martial, the judge advocate ruled that it was inadmissible because McVeigh was not being charged with that.
So the court-martial is concerned with right up to the moment at which the Indianapolis turns over.
His technical charge against him was that he hazarded the Indianapolis by not zigzagging.
Now, in the book, and I know among people you've spoken with, there's a great deal of discrepancy about the value of zigzagging, and indeed, the captain of this vessel, the Indianapolis, Captain McVeigh, was given the option to zigzag, right?
That's right. He, at the very last minute, after telling them there was essentially nothing to worry about, they kind of said at the last minute, well, you know, zigzag at your own discretion, which he did do. The clouds covered the sky, and as midnight neared, it was so dark that you couldn't see one end of the Indianapolis from the other. And about 11 o'clock, he had decided to retire, and he instructed the men on the bridge to resume zigzagging if the visibility changed. And around 4:45, the clouds unexpectedly parted in one part of the sky, revealing a waning quarter moon. And incredibly enough, at that very moment, the Japanese submarine, the I-58, surfaced and spotted it. And the captain of the submarine fired 6 torpedoes, and 2 of them hit. One blew off the bow. The second hit the munitions part of the ship and the fuel tanks, and that huge vessel went down in 12 minutes.
It is quite extraordinary that during this court-martial that the Navy decides to bring from Japan the captain of the I-58 submarine. Commander Hashimoto is flown from Japan to Oakland, then flown to Washington, put in the Roosevelt Hotel, and brought to the Navy Yard to testify.
It was unheard of that an enemy officer would be brought to the United States to testify against an American officer whose ship had been sunk by the Japanese officer. It was unbelievable, but they really rammed this court-martial through. Unfortunately, the commander of the Japanese submarine, Hashimoto, said that McVeigh and the Indianapolis could have zigzagged all night and he still would have torpedoed it.
Let's bring in another character in this drama. This is a young boy in Pensacola, Florida, Hunter Scott, 11 years old, I believe, at the time.
At the time, right.
He's watching the motion picture Jaws on television. Robert Shaw, playing Captain Quint, is a survivor, fictionally, in this motion picture. He has a tattoo from the Indianapolis, and he talks about what it was like in the water. Hunter Scott asks his dad, is this a true story?
And his father said he believed so. Now, young Hunter Scott had a history project, I think sixth grade, and he thought, well, this would be interesting to do. And he put an ad in a local Navy newspaper in Pensacola, Florida, and he got a response from one of the survivors, who then, Hunter Scott, got a list of all the other survivors, and he sent them a questionnaire. And they all responded that the court-martial of the captain was a grave injustice. So that got him going. And meanwhile, the survivors' organization all these years had been trying to exonerate the captain, who I can parenthetically say had committed suicide by then. He had gotten such vicious hate mail from the relatives of those who had died, accusing him of murder and so on. And finally, one letter so bad came to him that he stepped outside his home in Connecticut and he shot himself. His last known words were, I should have gone down with the ship. By then, it had been discovered that the Navy knew all the time the Japanese submarine was out there, so the cover-up became less of a cover-up. And the real significance of Hunter Scott, who was made an honorary survivor by the Indianapolis survivors, he was irresistible to the media that this young boy was getting into this fight, and Congress began to take notice.
At the time that Hunter Scott started looking into this, there were 154 survivors of the Indianapolis. How many now, do you think?
134. In a way, this is a tragic, unbelievable story. Does have, in a sense, a happy ending because 55 years later, they right a wrong and they never gave up. And despite all the obstacles, they did it.
Peter Moss, thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you, Noah.
Peter Moss, he's contributed a new foreword and afterword for Richard Newcomb's book, Abandoned Ship.